See, Joybell C said this. I hope I don't write too many books. When I look at authors who have written too many books, I wonder to myself, when do they live? I certainly want to write because I live. I know I don't want to write in order to live. My writing is an overflow of the wine glass of my life, not a basin in which I wash out my ideals and expectations. Hi, this is Beth Jones, and I want to welcome you today to the call, Ink Incense. Whether you're here live or whether you're listening later to the recorded replay audio, I'm so glad that you're here and that you signed up for this class. And if you're listening to my voice right now, I believe it's because the Holy Spirit has drawn you to this training, that you have a gift of writing inside of you that he wants to use for his glory. I want to pray first and then we'll get started. God, I just come before you in Jesus' name and I thank you and I praise you for technology where we can share your word and we can use our gifts and we can encourage and bless and help each other. I ask for your anointing upon me, Jesus. I just pray that your words would go forth, that you would speak through me to edify and encourage the listener. And God, I just pray that you would help us to give our writing to you as a sweet offering to you and use it how you will. In Jesus' name, amen. The idea for this training came when I was praying about my speaking and writing business. And if you don't know, if you haven't seen my posts on Facebook or looked at my e-zines lately or my blogs, I've had two jobs since last year outside the home. And what happened was my husband and his family were really wanting me to get a job, a job, to make a more consistent paycheck. And I've said many times that if you want to write books and your motive is to make lots of money, find a different career, because it's not going to happen. Now, I personally do not know a lot of authors or speakers who make a lot of money. I've had a lot of talks about this with my author friends, with my speaker friends. Other than people like Joyce Myers, Beth Moore, people who have a very large platform already, or people who write books about vampires or witchcraft, which I, as a Christian believer, will not do. My motive in speaking or writing has never, ever been about money. And no, I am not opposed to making money. As a matter of fact, I would love to make a lot of money and bless my husband and our family. But it's not my main goal, my main motive. I've been writing since I was a child, and I don't know when you started writing or what kind of things that you write, but I used to write in diaries when I was a child, those little diaries that had the key and the lock on them. And when someone in my family once asked me, as I was a teenager, as I was growing up, what do you want to be when you grow up, Beth? I said, a mom and a writer. And that person, that family member, then told me if I was a writer when I grew up, I would starve to death. Now, since that time, I've broken that curse. I do believe that most writers today fall somewhere between the two extremes of the myth of the starving writer and the overnight success, wealthy, famous writer. I believe all of us are somewhere in between that, depending, you know, how big your platform is, how many years you've been doing this, how many books you've written. It just depends. But I think most of us, at least people in my circle, we fall somewhere in between that. I am the mom of three beautiful daughters, and they are one of the most precious gifts God has given me, next to my salvation, as well as four beautiful, precious grandchildren, and one on the way. My motivation for writing is simply this. I love to write. I love to write. I'm a writer. I can't not write. It is an obsession with me, and I've often said if I was on a deserted desert island, please don't let me be there without food, without drink, without my family, without my Bible, and without something to write with, a laptop, pen and paper, something, limitless supply of paper and pen. I write for one purpose and one audience, God and His glory, and I know in my heart that I will be writing books for the rest of my life. I also believe that God uses my writing, and I say this with all humility, I believe God uses my writing to encourage, to bless, and help other people. And I encourage you to not write with a primary motive of making money, although I again, I don't personally believe there's anything wrong with making money. I don't think there's anything wrong or sinful with being rich or wealthy. A lot of God's greatest servants in the Bible had immense wealth, such as Abraham and Sarah, King David, Queen Esther. There's so many people, the women that followed Jesus and blessed him and his ministry. But I write to please God, and it's a gift he has given you and me to encourage and help other people. Your words matter. Your words make an impact and a difference in people's lives, whether you're writing letters to your family member or friends, you're writing a blog, writing articles, writing books, writing your posts on social media, or whatever you're writing. You have a unique voice that the world needs to hear, a unique message, your story, your testimony, your heart message that someone else needs to hear. Somebody needs to hear what you have to say. And I have a picture in my office, and it has these words on it. It says, be bold enough to use your voice, brave enough to listen to your heart, and strong enough to live the life you've always imagined. But be bold. Be bold to use your voice, because no one else has your voice. And if you've heard me teach or preach on my blogs and my easings, you know I'm very passionate about using your gifts. No one else has your purpose in life. No one else has your gifts. God has made you very uniquely, and he wants to use you in a powerful and unique way. Now, my sister Maria always encourages me when I'm about to have a meltdown about how few people attend my live trainings, or if I've had a bad month selling books. She says this, Beth, if you reach just one person, that's all that matters. Now, I admit it, it makes me mad a lot of times when she says it, because I have such big dreams in my heart. But this is very true. Jesus was always interested in the one, just like he was with the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. And that is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. The Bible said Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Why did Jesus need to go through there? Because he knew he was going to meet this woman and talk with her at the well, and that it was going to change her life. As a result of her encounter with Jesus, an entire village was saved. And God wants to do the same thing in and through you and me as a result of us spending time intimately with Jesus every day. God may even use you to save a whole city. In a Writer's Digest interview, author R.L. Stein said this. People say, what advice do you have for people who want to be writers? I say they don't really need advice. They know they want to be writers, and they're going to do it. Those people who know that they really want to do this and are cut out for it, they know it. If you are a writer, a real writer, you know it. You know it inside your bones. Writing is in your heart, and you love to write. And if you're like me, you cannot not write. You can't imagine a life without writing. It would be torture. That doesn't mean that you're writing all the time, but it's something that you can't get away from very long. You know you're gifted to write, even called by God to write. It is in your very soul. Now, maybe sometimes you wonder what you're supposed to do with all these creative ideas swimming around inside of your head. How do you gel them together to make any sense at all? The writing life is very rewarding and very beautiful, but it can also be frustrating and challenging. And this is especially true if you're experiencing any struggles with success in your writing. It can also be a very lonely life. People don't totally get writers. They're kind of their own breed of people. Or if you are wanting to write a book, but you can't make any headway. Either you've been procrastinating, you battle perfectionism like I do, you can't finish the book, or you're facing writer's block, writer's resistance, or writer's fears. This is very common among writers, especially the fears part. So what do you do? That is the point of this call. You give your writing as an offering to God. It's what I've called ink incense. And my husband Ray says he believes those words were inspired by God. He also thinks I should trademark those words, ink incense. Now, I don't know about the trademark, but I do believe God gave me those inspired words. What do I mean by an offering by incense? And I want us to look at some scriptures to go into the teaching time. First, and this is not going to be a sermon. I'm not going to be preaching at you, but I want to give you some meat for this call. First, in the Old Testament, the priest gave offerings to God as a sacrifice to him. And we see the first offering among humans in Genesis 4, 3-5, when Cain and Abel brought their offering to God. God was pleased with Abel's, but not with Cain's. And as we know from studying the Old Testament, Cain killed Abel and later became a fugitive on earth. From the website learnthebible.org, we learn the five major offerings are in the book of Leviticus. So if you want to do an in-depth study of offerings, study the book of Leviticus. And there's also other offerings besides the five major offerings. The purpose of the major offerings were for the people of God to make and keep a right relationship with Him, revering God as holy and their God. They are also a prophetic type of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross for us. The offerings are a pattern for our own approach to God in our daily lives. The three offerings I want to talk about today are the burnt offering, the meat offering, and the peace offering, which I feel really relate to your and my writing. First is the burnt offering, and this is discussed in Leviticus chapter 1. It is the only offering to be totally consumed on the altar with nothing eaten by men. It is the first offering mentioned by name in the Bible, and that's found in Genesis 8:20. Most common of the offerings mentioned in Scripture. It was a voluntary offering. That means that they gave it freely. They weren't forced to give it. It was voluntary, and it was considered a sweet savor to the Lord. And it indicates entire surrender. And I want you to think about that word, surrender. What does it mean for you to surrender your writing to God, to not control it, to not even hide it? Surrender your writing to God. Number two is a meat offering. This is found in Leviticus chapter 2. It is the only offering made without the shedding of blood and without an animal sacrifice. It is an offering of fine flour. No animal flesh was involved. It too is a voluntary offering and a sweet savor to the Lord, and it indicates a living sacrifice. And think about those words, meditate on those words, a living sacrifice. We are to be a living sacrifice to God. Now, Jesus is the one that sacrificed His life on the cross for us. But we in our daily lives, everything we think, do, and say are to be a sacrifice unto God. We're to give of ourselves. Jesus must increase and we must decrease. And that includes in our writing. Number three is a peace offering, which is found in Leviticus chapter 3. It is the only offering in which the offerer could eat of the meat of the sacrifice. And this reminds me of the scripture that the laborer is worthy of his wages. And a farmer, he's not going to plant produce, and not enjoy the fruit of his labor. God wants us to eat of what we give, of what we earn and make. He wants us to partake of that, to enjoy it too. The peace offering was also a voluntary offering and a sweet savor to the Lord. And the peace offering indicates fellowship or communion. So meditate on those words, fellowship or communion. Your writing or mine should be a complete sacrificial surrender to God, just like these offerings. It should be a sweet aroma like incense before Him, and it should be a voluntary offering, not forced, and it should be pleasing to God. In other words, the words that we write, they need to please God. We don't want to write something that would be biblically incorrect as far as we know, our knowledge knows. We don't want to write something that would be sinful, that would be an embarrassment to God or displease Him or hurt Him or grieve Him. We want our words to be pleasant to Him, to be something that would make Him smile, would make God proud of us, like a father would be proud of his child. We know that today we do not have to give animal or flower offerings to God on an altar because of Jesus. But what we can do is offer Him our lives, our hearts, and our writing in complete submission and surrender. He has given us these writing gifts, so we give them back to Him as a sacrifice. And a scripture just came to mind right now, and I want to Google it really quick. I just feel prompted right now to see about this. So hold on just a second. See if I can bring it up here. It's in the Message Version Bible. Here it is. It is Romans 1-2, and this wasn't in my notes. I just felt prompted some reason to read it. Romans 1-2, place your life before God, and this is in the Message Version Bible, and this is what it says. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And of course, that is our goal, to become mature, to become like Christ. But it says, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And that's what we're to do. Another scripture to study. Hold on just a second. Had to get a drink there. Another scripture to study on writing and offerings is Psalm 45:1 in the Amplified Bible, which says this: My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my psalm to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a skillful writer. And in this psalm, David is saying his heart is overflowing. If you are a writer, often words are just overflowing in your heart and your mind, and you have to write them down or capture them somehow. I would encourage you to continually keep paper and pen with you, or some kind of recording device or recorder, day and night, because you never know when the muse will strike. And for me, the muse is the Holy Spirit. I immediately wrote down the words, ink, incense, for this writer's training as soon as they came to my mind. They were not my own words, but I believed they were from God. And my husband Ray confirmed them. You have to understand that while my husband Ray believes in my speaking and writing gifts and he wants me to use them, Ray doesn't normally go around encouraging me a whole lot. That's not one of his spiritual gifts. He doesn't have to seem the gift of encouragement like I do. So when he said this, Beth, this is inspired by God, I really felt that confirmed it was from the Lord and it was not my own thoughts, that it came from Jesus. From the Bible Study Tools commentary online, I read this. This psalm, verse 1, and again, that is Psalm 45:1. Yeah, I'm making sure. Psalm 45:1. In the first verse when he writes, my heart overflows with a good theme. Verse 1, it's a resemblance, and I know this is getting technical, so hang in here with me. A resemblance taken from the minka, which is the meat offering in the law, which was dressed in the frying pan. And that comes from Leviticus 7-9. The meat was boiled in oil, being made of fine unleavened flour, mingled with oil, Leviticus 2:5. Afterward, this offering, this meat offering, was presented to the Lord by the priest, Leviticus 2:8. And here is what the commentary says, and this is again from Bible Study Tools commentary, which is online. Here the minka, which is a meat offering with the oil, is offered with the grace of the Spirit, boiled and prepared in the prophet's heart, and now presented, that is, to the Lord. And that commentary is by Henry Ainsworth. I will send that commentary to you in my email when I send out the replay link. I think it's a beautiful illustration of what our writing is, a burnt meat offering to God to use as He pleases. Secondly, Psalm 45 says that He addresses His theme to the King. Now, the King, as we know, as believers, is Jesus. We give our words to God, to Jesus. We let God do whatever He pleases with them. God does whatever He wants with our books, whatever way He wants to use them, to whoever He wants to show them. They come from God and they go back to God. When I write a book, and I have now written 15 books, and I'm writing my 16th book, and they're available at Amazon if you are not familiar with my books, amazon.com/author/Beth M. Jones. When I write a book, I trust that God is going to use those books to give Him glory and to minister and encourage to someone's heart. Now, I don't know who that is. When I write a book, I'm writing as inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit. But God, I believe, has someone in mind when I'm writing my books, at least one person. Same thing with you. Your writing is not just for you. Your writing is not for you to hoard or to hide. Your writing is to bless God and to bless someone else. And everything that I write, I strive to write with excellence. And that's different from perfect. I really struggle with perfectionism, but I'm trying to conquer that. What I'm trying to do instead is write with excellence, write to the best of my ability, do my very best job, and then leave the results with God. I strive to write with excellence and encourage other people. If you don't know, my mission is equipping women to use their gifts for God, doing what they love, to encourage them to fulfill the purpose God has given them. And your writing has a purpose, and I often liken myself to a book midwife. In the last couple of years, God has brought different women across my path and even men, and you just wouldn't believe the divine appointments I've had with this, even going on job interviews. I've met an attorney that wanted to write a children's book. I've run across other people at my work that he said he had always wanted to write a devotional. I meet people, and people come to me and ask me, how do you write a book? And how do you write your books so fast? So I call myself a book midwife, helping women, helping people to birth their books. My books are being read right now all over the world in different nations. And that humbles me. When I go on Amazon and when I go to see the places that people are buying my books from, it's in different nations. Amazon shows me the different countries they're being sold in. That's very humbling. So I know that my writing has a purpose and that God is using my books somehow for His glory. I remember one time when I was in the Bahamas, I was walking down the road. I had gone to speak there at a women's conference on a cruise ship. And I went to the beach and I had packed a copy of one of my books, The Hands of a Woman, Everyday Women and Everyday Battles. I'd stuck it in my beach bag. And when I came back from the beach, I saw this girl walking along the sidewalk, a black girl there. And I felt prompted by God, go give her the book. So I went and gave her the book. I said, here, the Lord bless you. I didn't even know she could read English or not. The book is in English. And she got a big smile on her face, and she was so happy, and she said, thank you. I started walking away, and all of a sudden, another lady started chasing me down, saying, do you have any more books? And I didn't have any more books. I wish I'd had. I wish I'd brought a whole bunch of them and gave them away. And I have given away a lot of my books. But God can do that. When I went to Kenya, Africa to speak at a women's conference for 3 days, I brought some of my books there. Why? I was sowing seed in Africa. I was sowing seed in Kenya for women there to be blessed, to use their purpose for God, their gifts for God. So you never know where God will use your writing. You never know how God will use your writing. Just be faithful with what He gives you and sow those seeds. Write that book. The results are in God's hands. You just do your job and write. So your writing has a purpose, even if that purpose is to entertain other people, like writing a fiction story for people to laugh, to relax, to You know, maybe it's a mystery story. Maybe it's science fiction. Maybe it's a devotional. Maybe it's your life story. Whatever it is, your writing has a purpose. Your writing's purpose may be to educate others. Now, I personally love learning. I have this deep thirst for learning, and I want other people to learn too. So I always try to include things, to share things that are educational and informative to help teach other people. Your writing may be simply to encourage and inspire other people. It may be a self-help book. It may have all of these elements in it, teaching and education, entertainment, inspiration. But whatever, your writing is for a purpose, and it's not just for you. Address your writing to the King Jesus and leave the results to Him. Your job is simply to listen to Him, let Him inspire you, and to write. While I don't read His books, I love His quotes on writing. Stephen King says, "Writing isn't about making money, getting famous, getting dates, getting laid, or making friends. In the end, it's about enriching the lives of those who will read your work and enriching your own life as well." And I think that is just beautiful, even though it came from Stephen King. It's about enriching your life and other people's. Third, Psalm 45 says, "My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer." I believe this is a great verse for both speakers and writers, and God wants you to hone your skill of communication, to sharpen it, to not waste this gift of writing or speaking or whatever your gift is, not hiding it. And I believe a lot of times speaking and writing go hand in hand. Our daughter Leah, she's our youngest daughter, is an amazing artist. And we homeschooled her from the time she was in preschool until she graduated 12th grade from our homeschool, Shekinah Christian Academy. Her art is primarily self-taught. Now, my husband Ray bought her a graphic art tablet when she was a young teenager, and she has taught herself to draw on that tablet. Her art is anointed by God. It is a gift that God has given Leah, as well as a musical gift. Leah is an amazing violinist. She's taking weekly violin lessons, and she is teaching herself to play the keyboard and the mandolin, too. A mandolin, it looks kind of like a little guitar. I'd never even heard of it, but she wanted one, and we got her one of those, too. Leah is a very shy, quiet person, and I used to be very shy and quiet, too, and Ray says about that he misses the good old days when I never talked. But Leah's very shy about her art, too, and she doesn't like to show it to other people. She's very protective of it. For one thing, she's a perfectionist, and where do you suppose she got that from? She got that perfectionism from me. But she wants her art to be perfect before showing it to anyone, perfect in her mind. She's very demanding of herself as an artist. And of course, only Jesus is perfect. But the art that Leah has shown me and our family and a few close-knit friends is just incredible. And when you look at it, you can sense God's anointing on it, inspired by Him. His presence, when you look at it, is upon it. It is beautiful and it is inspired. And I have been trying to encourage Leah to take at least one college art class since she graduated from her homeschool to learn new things with her art and to hone this craft of art. Right now, Leah works as a cashier at a grocery store, and she now lives with her older sister Heather and her two daughters in another city. She moved out of her home last year, so we're now facing empty nests. This would benefit Heather financially, with Leah sharing her rent costs and her utility costs, and it was going to help Leah to take a step toward being an independent adult, making more decisions on her own, getting a job, being more self-sufficient. We didn't want her to move out, but we felt like it was a God thing, and it's actually been very good for her. It's helped her to grow up more. And Ray and I are very proud of her because she has just taken these huge leaps of faith since last year. But Leah still doesn't know what she wants to do with her life. So I've encouraged her to explore college art lessons, art classes. She isn't sure yet she wants to do that. I've also exhorted Leah that God didn't give her this gift of art, this artistic talent and ability to hide it. God has not given you your writing gift to hide either. Remember that the master called the servant who hid his one talent, instead of wisely investing it and multiplying it, wicked and lazy. And you can read about that scripture in Matthew 25:14-30. Now, I don't want you to hear any condemnation from me here. I'm not saying you're wicked and lazy. You might be battling fear instead of laziness, but sometimes it can be laziness. So ask God about that. But the whole point of this scripture is do not hide your talent. Do not hide your writing gift. Some of you that are listening to me right now, you've been hiding your writing. You've been hiding it when God wants to use it. God has given you that gift. He wants you to come out of hiding. He wants you to come out of the shadows into His light and begin to bare your heart. Begin to risk your heart. Be vulnerable. It is a vulnerable, scary, terrifying thing to share your writing with other people, because what if it's rejected? What if no one likes it? What if someone thinks what you're writing is stupid? What if someone never buys your book? We all battle those fears as writers, but God says it's time to come out of the shadows, time to stop hiding and use that writing gift. So and this is going into the more practical part of this teaching time. How do you hone your craft? How do you sharpen your writing? And there's several ways. How do you start your book? How do you start that blog or that article? How do you keep writing? You ask God for help. And here are some other practical ways. Number one is you spend daily time in prayer, reading the Bible and worship. And I truly believe this is where inspiration for writing comes from. Spending that time daily with God in prayer. Why? God is a creator. God is the one who created you with a writing gift. And as the creator, He's given you creative abilities, which includes your writing, your speaking, and your other gifts. So as you sit in God's presence and you get quiet before Him, remove all the distractions. Remove the noise, because we live in a very noisy world and we are constantly being bombarded with distractions every day in our life, and they come in many different forms. Marriage issues, family problems, financial crisis, the phone ringing, people coming by your house, things aggravating you, traffic. There's just so many ways that, you know, health issues, your kids being demanding, people pulling on you, pulling on that anointing. Lots of distractions every single day. And the lies of the enemy, one of the hugest, biggest distractions in our lives. The enemy lying to you about your identity. The enemy reminding you of your past. The enemy telling you you're a failure. The enemy lying to you you're not pretty enough or smart enough or anointed enough or talented enough or whatever enough, thin enough, or, you know, rich enough, whatever it is, good enough mom, good enough wife, good enough anything. He lies. He's a liar. He's a liar. Father of lies. Don't listen to him and rebuke him. But all those distractions every day we have in our lives, and God wants to speak to your heart in the quiet of prayer with this still small voice. He will be your GPS, giving you wisdom and direction. He will tell you what to do and not do, where to go and not go. He will give you instructions every single day of your life. Jesus did this. Jesus, the Son of God, when He was here on earth, spent time alone with God, away from the crowds, away from the noise, a lot of times in the mountains. And He is our example. The Holy Spirit will inspire your creative writing. He will give you ideas. He will give you ideas for articles, for blogs, for speaking presentations, for books. And I encourage you to get a journal and journal every day. Now, I'm a very big journaler. I've been writing in a diary since I was a little girl. And I go through journals like water. So I buy the $2 cute, colorful journals at the dollar store, Dollar General. That's where I get my diaries, my journals. And some people prefer more expensive ones at Barnes & Noble, bookstores, Amazon, other places online, Dayspring. Sometimes I will buy more expensive journals if I see a really pretty one that I like. But most of the time, I buy the $2 ones because I use them so much. I have plastic tubs that I buy at the dollar store too that are filled with my journals, my private writings that no one else reads. Now, if you're afraid of your husband or your kids or someone in your family reading what your private thoughts in these journals, then burn them or throw them away. I have burned some of my writings. I have burned some of my journals before. But spend that time first thing in the morning or whenever you're able to spend time alone with God, praying and journaling, and it will jumpstart your writing. And you can also do what is called morning pages. If you Google it, it's called morning pages, where you just write with no editing first thing in the morning. Number two is to read good books on writing. And again, I'm not a fan of Stephen King, and I've actually never read any of his books. But I love these writing quotes that he has. And he says, if you want to be a writer, you must do two things above all others. Read a lot and write a lot. And that is very true. How are you going to sharpen your writing skills if you never read great books by great authors? We learn from the great authors. They're our teachers. They didn't start out being great authors. They didn't start out being wonderful writers. Just like you and me, they started as a beginner. And that's what so many authors or writers don't understand. They think, I can never be like that person. Hello, they didn't start out being a great writer. They practiced, they wrote, they read other authors too. Not all readers are writers, but all writers are readers. So read, write, rinse, and repeat. Number three. Sorry, need some more water. Number three, attend writers' conference. Now, the first time I ever did this was several years ago. I was absolutely amazed. I finally met people who were like me. I'd never been around other writers before. I was the only writer and speaker I knew. And so before going there, I'd always felt like I was on the outside looking in on people, never quite fitting in. And at this conference, this writer speakers conference, I met people who got me, that were just like me. And it made me so happy. They loved to write. It was the first time I'd ever met people that loved to write, and many of them, just like me, love speaking. A lot of times, writers and speakers are just a different breed of people. Like I was saying a while ago, we are unique. We're not like other people. Let's face it, we're not. We're not exactly crazy or weird. Maybe we're a little bit crazy, but we're different. You might even call it eccentric. We march to the tune of a different drummer. We're not like other people. And so because of that, a lot of people don't understand us. They don't get us. Now, the stat is that 80% of people want to write a book, but many never do. Do not be the ones that don't write your book. There's an expression, and I've talked about this in my other books before, that the richest people in the world are in the cemetery. They're in the cemetery because their gifts, talents, and skills are buried inside of them. It is a place of great wealth. The cemetery, the graveyard, is one of the richest places in the world. Why? Because all those gifts are buried inside of them. All those untapped gifts. So don't go to your grave with your books or books inside of you. Don't 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now still be saying, I want to write a book and you haven't written it. Write your book. And I'm very passionate about this because I just want so much for writers to write their book. God gave you that dream. God gave it to you. Write your book. And I share about this in my book, Write Your Book Fast, Making Your Writing Dreams Come True. And if you sign up for this class, I sent you the ebook. It's also in print form. Right now I am tweaking that print book version, and it's going to be available soon for sale. But I'm fixing some spelling mistakes in it, and then it's going to be in print physical book form for you for sale. But take writer's trainings like this one, either free or paid. Invest in your writing gift. Take online classes. Take online trainings like this one. Learn from other people who have gone on before you. And you can learn. And I was just got an email from someone that signed up for this class that said she believed that she knew who the mentor was that I'd mentioned in my writing book. And that what I had learned from this writing mentor, what she had been teaching me and the others in the class, was not the best, wisest advice for me. In fact, she gave me very bad advice, and in my opinion, the other students, because she was telling us to do everything ourselves. The book cover, the formatting, the editing, the marketing, the sales, everything. And that was bad advice for me. One of the best things I have learned as a writer, as a speaker, is to outsource. And I do talk about that in my book. Hire people to help you to do the things that you're not anointed and gifted to do, like the book cover, like formatting, like editing. So many things. That's not my area of strength. My strength is speaking and writing. So outsource all those techie things so that you can do what God has called you to do. Invest in your writing gift. This may include coaching. Extract the precious from the worthless from others. And this is what Jeremiah 15:19 says this. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then will I will restore you. Let me say that again. If you return, then I will restore you. Before me you will stand. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you. But as for you, you must not turn to them. Extract the precious from the worthless. Or as we say in the South, where I grew up in South Georgia, eat the meat and spit out the bones. In other words, take what is useful for you. Same thing with this training. Whatever applies to you, whatever you can use, whatever is most helpful, take that and run with it. There may be things in this training I'm talking about that will not help you at all, that you don't even need to worry about. But take the one gem, the one thing that's useful for you, and run with it. You use that. You take that and let it help you. God will lead you to the right person to help you with your writing, and you might consider coaching. Now, since I've been doing my online business for several years now, I've had many different coaches, and some were good and some were not good at all. You need to find the one that's a good fit for you. You have to be willing to invest financially to reap the rewards. Ask God to help you with finding a coach. My writing coach is Shelley Hitz. And she has written over 40 books. She's extremely successful financially as a speaker author in her platform. You can find her books at Amazon. And her Author Audience Academy, which is her signature program, is the most comprehensive writer's program I have ever found. And it blows me away how much content she has in it. If you take that course, if you take that program, please use my affiliate link at BethJones.net at the bottom of the page and let Shelley know I referred you. It is an incredible writer's program packed with resources and trainings to help you become a successful author. Now, if you don't use Shelley, find some people, you know, even if it's reading a book on Amazon or, you know, a class online or a college class or a writer's course, just constantly, continually be learning to hone your craft, to sharpen your skills. And of course, the best way to sharpen your writing is to write. The next thing is discipline yourself. Write, write, write. It's like a person that's a runner. You can't get any better at running, more in shape, more fit, unless you're out there running. I'm not going to get fit if I don't get out there and walk on the track and jog. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to gain weight if I keep eating and laying around. I have to be able to get on the track and move to get in shape, to get fit, to get healthy. Same thing with writing. Use those writing muscles. Set writing goals and then do them. If you fail, get back up, brush yourself off, and start again. This is what Hebrews 12:11 says. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The way that I've written 15 books, and I'm writing my 16th book now, is this way. I sit my butt in the chair and I write one word at a time. That is my secret formula for how I write books and how I write them so fast. People have asked me that. Beth, how do you write your books? How do you write your books so fast? Now, I don't feel like I write books fast because I like I said, my writing coach, Shelly Hitz, has written over 40 books. I know a woman who used to have, she homeschooled her children. She was married. She had a six-figure a year business. And she wrote over 100 books. So to me, she writes very fast. I don't feel like I'm a prolific writer, but some people have asked me that. So my secret formula, my secret sauce, I include in this book that I just wrote, which is How to Write Your Book Fast, Making Your Writing Dreams Come True. That's my secret sauce. I sit my butt in the chair at my laptop, and I write one word at a time until the book is finished. Now, I don't share that with other people except in this book. That's my secret sauce. That's how I do it. Just like your body's not going to get any healthier if you don't discipline yourself to eat healthy, drink lots of water, exercise, and de-stress and have fun. You cannot possibly become a better writer if you don't write. Don't be a closet writer. Don't be a writer in hiding. A writer who never writes. Carve out writing time in your schedule and do it. Just like that time to spend with your family. Just like that time to be with friends, go to coffee. Just like time to exercise. Or whatever your fun hobbies are. Ask God to help you eliminate the distractions and use your daily time productively. Whatever it is that God's wanting you to do for that day, He will give you your assignment. But make writing a priority. At the end of your life, you want to have used your gifts for God, including writing. You want to have done what God called you to do. Now, one example of distractions is social media. So many people are addicted to Facebook or their phones. I mean, it's really kind of heartbreaking sometimes to see moms out with their kids or a couple out for dinner and they're all on their phones. They're not even paying attention to their family, to the people in their lives. They're on their phones. Take a social media fast. And this is not to condemn social media because I love social media. I've met some of the most amazing people in my life on social media. My friend Shelly Valasek. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee. I spent a lot of time today watching videos from her on Skype. She had recorded a whole bunch of videos for me because if we can't talk to each other on the phone or text, we video each other. And that way we stay connected. And sometimes we do call each other and we talk a long time. She is one of my best friends, my best friend next to my sister Maria and my two daughters. So I've met amazing people on social media. So I'm not knocking Facebook or social media. But sometimes take a social media fast, a break, a vacation from Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or Instagram. My friend Dana Arcuri is an amazing writer and speaker, and she has taken several Facebook vacations this year and last year. She was sick of the drama. She was tired of the negativity, and she found out that when she took a break, she was greatly refreshed, and she had more time to work on her writing. She spent more time with her family. She got more things done around the house, the chores she needed to do. She just was refilled when she took that social media fast. The main thing was she had more time to write her book, because writing her books is very important to Dana. Dana was my client, and she was in a lot of fear with writing her first book. She had a lot of resistance to it. And through coaching with me, she finally wrote her first book. And now she has gone on to now she is writing her fourth book. She is an incredible writer. And I am so glad that she pushed past those fears and that resistance and all the distractions and noise. And she wrote those books because she's an amazing, powerful writer, an anointed speaker. If you go on her YouTube channel, she's just amazing. Dana R. Curry. But once in a while, Dana will come back to Facebook. She's on it now as she wants to stay connected with her friends. But she does take the breaks when she needs them. So sometimes you will need to take a break from social media to write your articles, your blogs, or your books. If you're on Facebook all day long or watching TV, or you are dilly-dallying around, like my father used to say, you're not going to discipline yourself to write. Facebook can be a time suck. It can be this black hole you fall into, and then you never get anything done because you're on Facebook all day long. Just do it, as Nike says, and make a decision to make your writing a priority. Polish and edit your writing. Now, one of the women that signed up for this class, Maria, I hope she doesn't mind me using her name, she told me she really has trouble with the English teacher inside of her head editing as she writes. This stops her from writing her book. My friend Dana commented on her post about this on Facebook saying, Dana allows herself minor editing as she writes. She doesn't completely kill the English teacher editor. She just tries to focus on writing and only do minor editing. Dana knows it's not possible to kill her off completely, but it is possible to minimize the English teacher editor's criticism inside of her head as she writes. So one thing you can do to help you out is outsource after you finish writing your blog, your article, or your book. Hire an editor to help you with editing your writing, professional editing. This will take so much weight off of you and the pressure to edit your book as you're writing it. I recommend Fiverr. F-I-V-E-R-R. I have outsourced a lot of editing and formatting, graphic design at Fiverr. I also use spell check on my Word documents every time I write a book after I write the first draft and then after I do the second draft, however many drafts I use. I do spell check. Now, when you hire an editor at Fiverr or whoever you hire, they can also check spelling mistakes, grammar mistakes, punctuation mistakes, and content. They can also do content editing. Depends on what kind of editor you hire. Some editors do all of that at one time. I always do spell check. I do multiple edits on my documents after I write the book. And then I print it out before it goes to the formatter and graphic designer for the cover. Because when I print it out, I'm able to see the mistakes more easily. But I do multiple edits before it goes to the formatter at Fiverr and before it goes to the graphic designer for the cover. Next is repurpose your writing. You can write it, and you might think, well, this doesn't pertain to me, Beth. Well, like I said, eat the meat, spit out the bones. Extract the precious from the worthless. But you might consider repurposing your writing. I mean, maybe what you're writing right now can be not just a book, but a short story that you sell for money. Maybe it can be a blog if you get a WordPress.com or a WordPress.org blog website. You can make blogs out of your writing, your chapters. Maybe you can write an article for pay. Maybe you can create content for a video, a live stream with Periscope or Facebook Live, which are very hot right now. A lot of people are doing Facebook Live or Periscope. I was on Periscope a whole lot last year, not just doing a scope, recording one, but I was watching a lot of scopes. I got addicted to it, and I had to get off of it for a while. You can also craft a speaking presentation. Some of you listening to this right now, you will be speaking places on different topics, sharing your testimony. You can do a home study course. You can make a Bible study or online training like a webinar or a telecall. You can do a video. You can do an audio. You can take anything that you write, whether it be a short story, a fiction book, a nonfiction book, anything, and create it into a brand new product. This will help you sharpen your writing skills as you can improve it as you are repurposing it and brainstorming new creative ideas. And this is my final point. Never, never, never stop writing. Write for the glory of God. You are not here by accident. You're not listening to my voice right now by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Write to bless and encourage and help other people. Use your gift. Do not hoard it. This is what author Annie Dillard said. One of the few things I know about writing is this. Spend it all, shoot it, play it, lose it, all right, away every time. Don't hoard what seems good for a later place in the book or for another book. Give it. Give it all. Give it now. The very impulse to save something good for a better place later is a signal to spend it now. Annie's point in this was to say, don't hoard your writing. Give it now. Give it all. Now, maybe some of you feel like, you know, I'm not worthy of writing. Realize you are worthy. That's just a bunch of garbage from the devil. You are worthy because of Jesus Christ and what he did for you. God put that writing gift inside of you to write. And if you're not sharing it, if you're not using that gift, you're actually being selfish. You're hoarding it. You're being disobedient to God. God wants you to use your writing gift for his glory and to encourage and bless other people. The desire and the dream comes from God. He put that gift inside of you. God wants to use it, to display it for his glory, and use it as he sees fit. Share your story. Share your story. Tell his message of hope to others, like the Samaritan woman at the well who said in John 4:29, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" Just write. You are a writer. Who needs your message? Who do you need to share it with? What is God saying? Surrender this writing gift as an offering to the Lord, a sweet aroma like incense before him. It is his. A final verse I'm going to share with you is Revelation 8:4 NLT. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Now, this is a seventh seal at the end of time, where there's 30 minutes of silence in heaven, where the prayers of the saints rise up like incense before God. It's pleasing to him, and he answers with noises, thunder, lightnings, and earthquakes, fire from heaven, holy fire. And while this verse is speaking of God's people's prayers rising up like incense to God, I believe when we give our writing to God as an offering, it is a pleasing aroma to him like incense. I would encourage you to give him your writing as a sweet offering to him today. Ernest Hemingway said, "In order to write about life, first you must live it. Go live your life. Have exciting adventures. Count your blessings daily because they are many. Have a thankful heart for everything God is doing in your life and has done for you. Really live your life and then go write about it." Thank you for coming to this training today or listening later. God, I just give you this recording, this call, to use as you see fit. And I lift up the ones that are listening to my voice now, God, these writers, these scribes, God, that you have given this gift of writing to. I ask, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that they would come out of the shadows. They would come out of hiding. You would break the power of fear, demonic fear, off of their lives in the name of Jesus. And they would begin to write as never before. They would be writers on fire. You would inspire them, Holy Spirit, to write for your glory, to write those stories, to write that fiction story or that fiction book or that nonfiction book or those articles or blogs or speaking presentations or video content or whatever it is, God, those articles that you have gifted them to write. And I ask they would be unafraid. They would be very strong and courageous. They would be your warriors, God, your writer warriors, writing for your glory. I ask they would complete the books that they've started or whatever they have started writing, God. They would not be afraid. They would share it, God, and you would allow their message to be shared with the people that you want it to be shared with. I ask your blessing upon their writing. I ask your financial blessing upon their writing, that you would prosper them in their writing, and that their words would have abundant eternal fruit. God, I just ask that it would be for the glory of your name. Jesus, we just give our writing to you as an offering. And all we say and do and think, we want to bless your name and be a testimony to you, and that you would be pleased with it. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like to get in touch with me further, this is Beth Jones, international speaker and author. You can find out more about my speaking at women's conferences at BethJones.net. My Amazon page, my Amazon author page is amazon.com/author/BethMJones. There you will find the 15 books I've written. I'm in the process now of writing one more, so you can be looking for that. You'll be first to hear about it if you are a subscriber on my easing list, my personal mailing list at BethJones.net. Be blessed, and remember, keep writing for God's glory.